You're listening to KVCR News. I'm Rick Dulock. On Fridays, we speak with former Press Enterprise columnist and longtime KVCR News contributor Cassie McDuff about some of the big stories around the Inland Empire. Good morning, Cassie.
Good morning, Rick.
Well, let's talk about the apparent winners in Tuesday's Riverside City Council election.
Yeah, there are only about 150 ballots left to count as of Thursday morning, so I think we can be pretty confident these are the winners. First, in that six-way race to replace Andy Melendrez, the councilman who's not seeking re-election, it looks like Clarissa Cervantes, a business person and researcher, is the winner. She got about 53% of the vote in a six-way race. That's pretty decisive. Often races with six people will go to a runoff, but in this case, no, it looks like she won it outright. And she was endorsed by Melendrez as well as a number of other local officials, and that may have helped her.
She was the only candidate that really had name recognition in the race.
Yeah, I think you could say that. Her sister is Sabrina Cervantes, the assemblywoman who represents Riverside. And in the other two races, in Ward 4, it looks like Councilman Chuck Conder was reelected. He got about 56% of the vote, despite having a very credible challenger in Monroe Maben. So it looks like the investigation by the Board of Ethics that's going on against Conder right now did not affect this race at all. And then, of course, in the 6th Ward, Jim Perry was unopposed, and so he was reelected.
And these folks will be getting 5 years in those seats because of the odd-to-even year?
That's right. Instead of odd-year elections like this year, 2021, Riverside is moving, like many other cities, to even-year elections to coincide with other general elections. The thought is that there's more turnout, and so they have extended by 1 year these terms to now to coincide with even-year elections.
Very good. And speaking of elections, it looks like a ballot measure has enough signatures to qualify to limit the height of new buildings along the light rail train route in Redlands.
Right. Well, the city council had been pressing to have the building height limits that were imposed by Measure U, a slow growth measure that Redlands voters approved some years ago, to have those lifted. And they placed Measure G on the ballot last year, and the voters resoundingly said no. I think 2/3 of voters said, we do not want the council to be able to allow any height of buildings in Redlands. And so this ballot measure, if it has enough valid signatures, and these have to be registered voters in the city of Redlands, they turned in 7,700 signatures. So as you said, it looks like it should qualify. What happens is the city clerk turns those over to the registrar of voters to confirm that they're registered voters. And then all they needed was about 4,200, 4,300 signatures to place this on the ballot for the next general election, which wouldn't be till November 2022. Or if they get 15% of registered voters, about 6,400 valid signatures, they could force a special election. So it looks like that may happen. And that's really no surprise given the public sentiment against tall buildings. If it qualifies, this initiative would not outlaw buildings taller than one or two stories by any means. It would allow buildings up to 3 stories near the downtown and university rail stops, as well as 4 stories out toward the west end of town, Alabama, California, and the New York Street Station, which would serve Esri. And so those would be limited.
And the exception to this ballot measure rule, hotels would be the exception, yes?
Right. Hotels would be allowed at any height that the city council chooses. And there are already a couple of hotels, I think 4 stories in town. And so this initiative, again, if it qualifies for the ballot and if the voters passed it, would allow the city council to dictate how tall hotels could be.
And one more thing having to do with voters, thanks to a voter-approved 1 cent sales tax increase, it looks like the city of San Bernardino will be able to add back some city jobs that were cut in previous budgets.
Right, particularly in public safety, always a concern. And code enforcement, again, a big concern in San Bernardino and other cities. You know, Rick, as we've observed, the cities and counties that had been anticipating that the pandemic shutdown was going to devastate revenue, that hasn't turned out to be the case at all. And particularly in San Bernardino, where, as you said, this 1 cent sales tax increase was approved and took effect early this year. a consultant for the city actually told the city council that they could bring in as much as $57.4 million in sales tax revenue for fiscal 2021-22. However, now the consultant has revised that down by $12 million to say only $45.4 million. So it's a little bit up in the air how many positions are going to be added back in. But the city is certainly anticipating being able to bring back some of the police department and code enforcement positions that have been cut in earlier budgets. They also want to expand library hours and improve some of the parks that have been neglected over recent years, of course, San Bernardino's bankruptcy and recovery from that. And so this is a hopeful sign for the city of San Bernardino.
Yeah, good news financially for them. And lastly, a well-known Inland Empire elected official is being remembered as a pioneer of water conservation.
Yeah, this was Don Galliano, a longtime Western Municipal Water District board member. He was only 69 years old. His death was unexpected. The cause of death was not given, but his friends and family did say it was a shock. He served on that water board since 2004, representing the cities of Eastvale, Harupa Valley, and Norco. He's probably best known as the president of Galliano Winery in Mira Loma. His family founded that winery in 1927, and he's been a big fixture in public life in Riverside County for many years. He served on the Harupa Community Services District Board. He served on the National Orange Show Foundation Board and the Los Angeles County Fair Association, as well as having been president of the Western Riverside County Businessmen's Association and Harupa Chamber of Commerce. He was a close friend of Congressman Ken Calvert. And Calvert said even though politically they didn't see eye to eye, he considered him one of his closest, if not his best friend. He said Galliano had kind of an image of a tough guy, but he really had a kind heart.
I'm sure he'll be missed. You know, it's one of those long-serving public servants. We seem to remember them a lot here on our Friday morning talks.
And unfortunately, there have been several lately.
Well, thank you, Cassie. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Rick. Talk to you later.
Longtime journalist Cassie McDuff helps us out regularly on our Friday morning news wrap. These reports are posted at kvcrnews.org. This report made possible with the support of the Southern California News Group, publisher of the Press Enterprise, San Bernardino Sun, Inland Valley Daily Bulletin, and other Southern California newspapers. I'm Rick Dulock, KVCR News.